This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit chilly outside, 46 degrees right now, going up to 63. 75 tomorrow for a high, cloudy, then rain, unfortunately, on Saturday with highs of 74. But the good news is Sunday, the rain goes away, highs of 67 for Barkas, and there's another parade that's scheduled to roll on that day. I think the Trucks Downtown? Yeah, Truck Downtown, right? And then Sunday is going to be nice, and then it clears out on Monday for next week, and we're into Lent in the mid-70s and all that stuff. So I don't know if you're following what's going on in Congress or not, but another, quote, budget crisis, because they don't pass a budget year to year and they have to do with continuing resolutions, which leads to a big old protracted fight, not just between parties, but within parties. Who wants to have what to happen and why, and the underpinnings that are reminiscent of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar in the Roman Senate. Aaron Dusso joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, to talk about it. How you doing, Professor?
Good. Thanks for having me.
And I don't know, did I kind of over-exaggerate that or not? Because I'm looking at 29 pages of story here about all the different maneuverings behind the scene and so forth. Maybe we can start with some context of what exactly is going on with the government shutting down, and when the government is set to shut down unless they come up with a continuing resolution, and then we'll go from there.
Right, yeah. The deadline is March 14th, and so I would expect you won't. You'll hear a lot of big statements until then. Usually we like to wait till 11th hour in order to get these things done. But because the Republicans are looking to really pass President Trump's big, beautiful bill through the reconciliation process, my guess is they will be less willing to fight right now. They're going to look to just pass a continuing resolution through the end of the year so that they can really focus on this continuing resolution and the big, beautiful bill.
So, oh boy, so many questions. For people that don't know, what is a continuing resolution and how did the government get into the continuing resolution business when it comes to budgeting?
Well, so a continuing resolution is just to say that they passed this resolution saying we're going to fund the government at the current levels until X time. It could be a year. It could be a while. Usually they'll do it for a short period of time, for a few months or 6 months at the longest. They do this because really it's a political breakdown. So people over the years have realized that they can use this brinkmanship to try and extract some benefits from the other side. So maybe cuts to the budget in places that the other side might not want to do. So it's become pretty common now. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, and to have a situation where it's shut down or we have a continuing resolution shut down or not. This is politics as it is today.
When was the last time, do you know, historically, that we had a budget, like, from year to year, and they didn't play the continuing resolution political game?
I don't have it offhand. I know they did back in the 90s, but yeah. They maybe during the Bush administration.
Well, once they find a way for leverage, look out. It never goes back, does it? Do you think it'll ever go back to...
I think that this is too useful a tool for politicians to give up.
There's a lot of tools. I'll go along with that. Let's talk about who wants what with this. First of all, big, beautiful bill. Let's get back to that. That's a big phrase. I don't quite know what that means. Who's looking for a big, beautiful bill, and what would that look like?
So Trump needs to have, well, he wants anyway, is one bill that's going to include both the tax cuts that he wants to continue from his first administration, plus some additional ones, and massive spending cuts to try and offset those tax cuts. And so this is, you know, what he wants is one big, beautiful bill that contains both. And so the only way you're going to get that through the Senate is if you use the reconciliation process, which allows you to bypass a filibuster. So, the Democrats in the Senate wouldn't sign off on these tax cuts or the spending. And so they have to do a parliamentary maneuver in order to avoid, you know, having this filibuster from the Democrats in the Senate. And that's called reconciliation. And so what they can do with reconciliation is they can pass a budget resolution, which the House did a couple of weeks ago. The Senate hasn't taken it up yet. That gives instructions to each one of the congressional committees on what they're supposed to do. That could be either raise funds through taxes or cut funds through tax decreases or cut spending. And so they tell after this resolution, they tell each committee what they need to do in broad terms. And then after they pass this resolution, those committees go about, you know, finding the details and exactly what's going to be cut.
Let's talk about the policy of this as opposed to the politics, because when you're talking about cuts like, you know, slash and burn, which is what Elon Musk is doing with Doge. And he's admitted so much saying that, you know, he's made some mistakes. He's not going to bat 1,000 all of the time. Of course, you're talking about government policy here. He's not been elected to do anything. I know the president appointed him to his position, a newly created position, if you will. But this is really no way to run a business, let alone the U.S. government, right? This continuing resolution foolishness or running, rushing into some kind of big, beautiful bill in a couple of months?
I mean, if it goes through the continuing resolution, I agree. This is just a stopgap measure because Congress doesn't essentially do its job on time. There's a difference between that and the big, beautiful bill. That's mm-hmm. That's essentially using a normal congressional process in order to, pass standard legislation. So that would follow essentially the constitutional process. And that's going to take a while. I mean,
that's the point I was making, Professor. When it comes to think that you would pass a big, beautiful bill to avoid a government shutdown, there's no way you could evaluate what needs to be cut, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense before March, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. 100% right. Yeah, if they get this bill out in the fall, I think they will be success. That would be counted as success. They want to avoid going into next year. That's the goal. There's no way this is happening prior to March 14th.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back. We're talking about what we're looking at with a government shutdown and the political maneuverings between Republicans and the Democrats. We'll talk about where the Republicans are with this. Lindsey Graham has some disagreements. We'll also talk about Elon Musk and Doge and what part they play in all of this. Any questions, comments? Oakenheart Jeweler Talk and Text Lines open 504-260-1870. Time for traffic now, WWL. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Aaron Dusso, our friend, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, about the government shutdown. Maybe it might happen, probably won't, right, Professor? Because tell me historically what happens with government shutdowns. Does anybody win this politically?
Historically, the government shutdowns that have happened over the last 30 years have actually kind of rebounded and hurt the Republicans because they tend to be the one that was in charge of Congress, then basically shut down the government on a Democratic president, and then public opinion has seemingly weighed against them. This is an opposite situation right now, where if we have a government shutdown, I don't think Republicans are the ones that want it, and so it would be the choice of Democrats to shut the government down, which I don't think they do.
So it's easy to, you know, just get in line. And I don't mean this disrespectfully to anybody. It'll just, you know, and that's why political parties exist. It's like, look, I don't want to sort through all of this. I'm just going to say that he's my guy or she's my woman. I'm not going to do my own thinking. I'm going to let them think it through for me and just trust them to do the right thing. But yet when you see surveys on Congress people, they come in with what, like a 7 or 8% approval rating. So that's a disconnect there. But for the average American, how would they go about knowing what's best for them or what isn't best for them? Or does it depend on whether you're of means or not? Or how dependent you are on aid from the government. And before we break that down to individuals, you got to talk about states, because Louisiana is one of the, I think, top 10 states when it comes to getting more from the federal government than we send in.
I think this is actually one of the, maybe the central problem that we have in a democratic society like ours, is that it's very complex, and it is actually very difficult to understand what policy effects might be and how they might rebound on you. And so this is such a big challenge that ultimately most people aren't going to spend the time. I don't necessarily blame them, but they're not going to spend the time in order to figure it out for themselves, because it's just too much. I mean, they've got other problems that are more pressing. And so what happens is they just ultimately turn to what we would call opinion leaders, right? And that's oftentimes a political party. So they'll simply have a partisan identification, and they'll go along with what the party tells them, with the assumption that the party's not going to screw them over in some way. But the reality is that it, you know, most Americans simply don't understand how government affects them. And this can be shown in polling about Medicare. Medicare is a government program, but it's oftentimes administered by private companies. And so people are oftentimes confused as to what's actually helping them. They don't realize that that's actually a government program. And so it's government helping you.
Yeah, I remember during the Obamacare years, it was, keep the government out of my Medicare. And it was like, well, you know, that is a government program. And sometimes the truth can be an inconvenient thing. So when it comes to what the polls show with Americans and approval, disapproval of what Elon Musk is doing, where does that stand, Professor? Do you know?
The polling for Elon Musk is gone way down. He used to be a fairly popular individual, but since he's become involved with the presidential administration, obviously this Doge efforts to cut things, his approval ratings have tanked, and you can see that even in rebounding on Tesla, and its stock market has dropped 40% in value. So this is having big effects on people.
And even the bill that big, beautiful bill, I forget exactly what bill it was, but with the tax cuts, it would still increase the debt, would it not? By $16 trillion, there would be $11 trillion over here, but then the end result would be a $16 trillion increase. Do I remember that correctly?
Right. Yeah. So the bill, it hasn't even existed yet, so we haven't even started. Once they get the budget resolutions passed, that's the beginning. And so then they'll work on actually crafting that bill. And right now, the way it's structured, it suggests that it'll increase the deficit by $2 to $3 trillion over 10 years.
And that's, I just want people, I was wrong about it, $2 to $3 trillion. You're talking about the debt or the deficit per year?
It would be the debt.
Debt.
So
by $3 trillion.
Over 10 years.
By yep. 3 trillion.
Up to 3 trillion.
Up to 3 trillion. Okay. And I just want people to keep their eye on the bottom line and the numbers to know, while we talk about cutting spending, what's going on with the debt that we accumulate and continue to add on to. Thank you, Professor Aaron Dusso. We'll take a break. Come back with Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Department of Louisiana of Agriculture and Forestry. Right now, time for WWL First News.